Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and today we're coming to you from our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. More than 80 years after the peak of his power, the legend of mobster Al Capone endures. His name still evokes images of pinstripe suits and white fedoras, and a new PBS program airing next Tuesday on SDPB-TV follows Capone's rise from a two-bit hustler to the king of Chicago's underworld, and it examines why Capone continues to fascinate so many Americans. Bill Margol is Senior Director of Programming and Development at PBS, and he oversaw the production of Al Capone Icon, and he joins us on the line. Bill, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks, Carl. It's great to be here.
Well, there have been a lot of books and documentaries about Al Capone over the years. What approach did producers take in this documentary?
Well, you know, it's about looking at him as an icon, you know, someone who ignored what came before and became something totally different. It's about how then that's echoed down through history, influencing others for good or for bad. And, you know, we really wanted to tell a great story, a true story about a man separating the man from the legend.
And how difficult is that to do 80 years later?
Well, you know, you have to sift through a lot of different sources. You have to be able to look at the legends and realize what's been inflated and what's been and what's truth, and like any good, you know, true story, be able to corroborate your sources and paint a whole picture of the person.
And there's some interesting sources that are used in the show Al Capone Icon. I think there's a grandniece in there, someone who actually knew Al Capone.
Yeah.
And a contemporary former mobster, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a great group of experts in this. I mean, people who can really talk to the breadth of Capone's life. And yeah, we got Deirdre Capone, who is Al's grandniece, and she's great. And we got we have everyone from ex-Chicago cops like Thomas Repetto to ex-mobsters like Frank Calabrese Jr. and writers, Capone's biographer Jonathan Eig, New York Times reporter Tim Weiner, and we also got Vince Gilligan, who's creator of Breaking Bad, who goes on to say how much Capone influenced Breaking Bad.
Was his reputation during his heyday, during Prohibition, was his reputation similar then as it is today? Do we still have the same ideas about Al Capone? Are we perhaps maybe not so naive today?
Well, you know, I think Capone's story is interesting because he went from being a hero, or I guess you could call him an anti-hero, to someone who was, you know, reviled and looked down upon, and then the legend became burnished with time, and suddenly he became more of a legend and less of a real figure. And I think, you know, one of the great things we do in this show is sort of paint that whole picture from his, as you had said in the introduction, from his rise through through his downfall and then into that legendary status.
Well, tell us a little bit about his early years. He really came up from tough situations in New York.
Yeah, you know, he started in New York, and like many, I guess, you know, mobsters, gangsters, whatever you want to call them at this period, you know, he ran his sort of two-bit hustles and was working with lots of different sort of underworld, underworld figures, and he came up in the world and then ran into trouble in New York and was quickly hightailed it to Chicago. So it's funny, as much as Capone is thought of as a Chicago figure, he really started in New York.
Whatever you may think of Al Capone, he was really quite a dashing figure. You know, think of those, as I mentioned, the pinstripe suits and the fedoras, the white fedoras. And he was someone, you would think a criminal wouldn't do this, and I don't know if he was the first one, but he was someone who courted celebrity. He talked to reporters.
Yeah, he did. You know, his reputation was a purposely cultivated thing. He wanted to be in the limelight. So you're right. Yeah, he dressed sharply. He made himself a man of the people, and you know, of course, he gave the people what he wanted. They wanted alcohol, which, you know, prohibition was a law that people didn't mind breaking, and so he gave them what they, you know, what they wanted. And unlike gangsters, mobsters that had come before him, he purposely sought out the limelight.
And how did he manage to be in the limelight, yet at the same time avoid criminal prosecution?
Well, you know, it's all about distance, right? You know, he distanced himself from the nitty gritty, and he put levels between himself and the actual crimes that couldn't be traced back. You know, he made sure his name wasn't associated with anything. Well, or as he thought, you know, which would eventually be his undoing. But he went to great pains to make sure that it wasn't traceable. If you look at the mob, you know, over the years, whatever you want to call it, Cosa Nostra, the mafia, you know, we always hear about the layers between the boss and the actual activities, all designed to protect, and that's exactly what he did. So he cultivated this great public image, but we all know what was going on behind the scenes.
Did what was going on behind the scenes finally become public, pretty much with the Valentine's Day Massacre of 1929?
Yeah, well, I think in terms of turning points, that was a big one for Capone. The Valentine's Day Massacre was really the first time the public saw the violence and the brutality of organized crime. It made it very real. People hadn't seen pictures like that before. Bodies laid out, blood streaming from wounds. It was brutal. It opened people's eyes, and I think that moment, combined with the movement from the 20s into the 30s and the Great Depression, it really changed how people viewed Capone. They instead of the smiling guy who could get you alcohol and ran speakeasies, they suddenly saw a criminal, and a criminal who was living not only heading a violent empire, but living an extravagant life. You know, buying, as I think somebody says in the show, you know, buying pairs of socks that could, you know, feed an entire family for the same price that could feed an entire family for the month in the Great Depression. So I think at that point the public really turned on him.
So he really got caught the roaring 20s into the Great Depression. There wasn't such a move for a mobster.
Yeah, you know, he had cultivated this very public, very flamboyant image, and unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, it came back to bite him.
All right. The show is Al Capone Icon. It airs next Tuesday on SDPB-TV at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain. Bill Margol is Senior Director of Programming and Development at PBS. I oversaw the production of Al Capone Icon. And Bill, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks so much. I hope everyone tunes in to watch a great gangster night, because we've got that, and we've got History Detectives coming up right after that, all about Jimmy Hoffa. So it's going to be a great night.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.